Clerk Delaney, shall we start the meeting?
Yes, please.
All right. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee of the City of Newton. It is Wednesday, April 7th, and with me at the start of the meeting is our committee members, Chris Markowitz, who is vice chair, John Oliver, welcome to your first PS&T meeting, Rick Lipoff from Ward 8, Becky Grossman from Ward 7, Tariq Lucas from Ward 2, again, welcome, Alicia Bowman from Ward 6, and we are missing Ms. Maliki from Ward 3. She texted me that she is on her way home and may join us as soon as she gets to a good connection. Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm Andrea Downs, the chair. That's all of us. So items before us are 107-21, resolution for the council to send to general court on the matter of MBTA service cuts. That resolution is before us, and I sent out earlier today, and Ms. Delaney, can you share your screen and put up the proposed changes? So as background, since this is my item, this is an item, this came up in conversations with Senator Cream about the cuts to the MBTA service and the elimination of the 52 bus and the 505. And she said that it would be very helpful to her and her colleagues on at the State House if there were a resolution from the Newton City Council, that she would be able to use that on the Hill. We are one of 10 communities, to my knowledge, that are working on similar resolutions to go to our legislative delegation. Among the others are Cambridge, Somerville, Reading, and those have already passed. So ours would be the fourth, but probably not the last. Ms. Delaney, are you able to share?
Can you see my screen or no?
No, cannot.
Oh, okay.
Just if we do have participants beyond the meeting, it would be helpful for the public to be able to see that.
I can't get it to go up there.
Oh, dear. Let me see if I can. Am I allowed to share content?
You should be able to, absolutely.
Let me see if I can find that document and pull it up, and then I will try to share. There it is. And hopefully it shows up with, does not show up in the preview. So let me see if I can show it with the red lines. Yes, here it is. Okay. So I will share that screen. Okay. Now, can we see that? No.
We see something that
we see like a screen time. Broadcast.
Okay, let me turn. That's not it. Okay, let me see.
Andrea, are you on your iPad?
I am.
Do you want me to try to pull it up on my computer? It might be easier.
Yeah, that might be easier. I'm not.
When did you send it?
That was sent out this afternoon from Ms. Delaney.
Okay.
2:45.
Yeah. 2:46. It says resolution text updated.
Okay. I'm on it.
Thank you.
I'm going to download it just to make it easier. Okay. Share my screen.
Excellent. There we are. So what's happened since the original text was sent to all of you is that the commuter rail conductors have been reinstated, so removed that line. And then if you'll scroll down, Councillor Bowman.
People can see it?
Yeah. Then I noted that they have taken this vote to restore service as soon as possible, and then further down added a line about the operations and capital investment. So do we have a motion or a discussion?
I'll move it.
Thank you. Councillor Lipoff has moved the item. Is would anyone, does anyone have any discussion on that? All right, I will take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any noes? Any abstentions? All right, the item is passed. Councillor Bowman, you can go back to unsharing. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for being tech support. All right, the next item, 119-21.
That vote, excuse me, that vote was 7-0 because Julia, Councillor Malachy, is still trying to connect.
I see her. Yes, thank you. 7-0. Next item is 119-21, acceptance of grants funds from MassDOT's shared winter streets and spaces, or honor the mayor, requesting authorization to accept and expend the sum of $199,919.92 in grant funding from MassDOT's shared winter streets and spaces grant to purchase and install 4 blue bike stations with bicycles. I believe Ms. Director Friedman is here to present, and you're muted, ma'am.
I am. So can you guys hear okay?
Yes.
We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds great. So this is our second shared streets grant that we have received funding for. The first one added 2 stations. So just to the big picture, we launched Blue Bikes last fall. We had grant funding for 6 stations, and we installed those 6 stations. Then we received a shared streets grant that allowed us to purchase and install 2 more stations, bringing the total to 8. This is the shared streets winter grant round, and we'll be able to install 4 stations in this round and then add a 5th station. So that actually brings us up, and then move a 5th station because we've got 1 that's underutilized. So that will actually bring us up to 8+4, 12 stations. And we should be receiving a community connections grant shortly for another 3 stations. And the developer Trio is adding a station as well. So that brings us up to almost 16 stations. And that's quite significant. None of these would be funded with city money. And at 16 stations, you'll really start to see some origin destination, good origin destination combinations in the beginning of what I would call a useful network for getting around the city of Newton. For this round, what we had proposed was trying to extend the system a little bit southern, a little bit to the south. So station locations that we're looking at for this, this grant, the shared streets grant, would be a station at Beacon and Walnut near the Whole Foods. Number 2 would be in the Newton Highlands area, hopefully as close to the MBTA station as possible. We would like to get one on Needham Street, and the interplay with the construction is a challenge, but we are talking to the property managers at Avalon to see if maybe we can put something on their property, at least in the beginning, which is a pretty good location. The 4th station will probably actually be at the Boston College MBTA to help connect the system into the Brighton one. And for the station move, we're moving the Washington Armory station because it's really just not used, and trying to get something closer to the Charles River path, either near California Bridge or closer to maybe Forte Park. So a lot in flux. The permitting process and the approvals always takes a while. But with the shared streets grant, we do need to have stations in the ground installed by May 31st. So in terms of our process, where we are, we had an internal meeting to talk about preliminary possible locations. Once we get those, we typically reach out to the ward councilors, and we do reach out to the abutters for these station locations as appropriate as well. So I'm going to turn it right back to all of you for questions.
Excellent. Any questions from the committee? You can raise your hands or wave at me. Councillor Malachy, welcome. I have Vice Chair Markowitz.
Hi, thank you for the presentation, Ms. Friedman. So I understood that there's no net cost to the city for these. It's completely covered by the grants?
Yeah, the cost of the capital is completely covered by the grants. There's no match on this. And our contract provides for free operations at this time.
Mm-hmm. Is it, in your opinion, do you think that people will return the bikes to the originating stations, or do you think there'll actually be a lot of, it's kind of interesting where you put the stations, you actually get a pretty good ride through the city by doing that. But what do you think, people will do that? Or will they...
Yeah, so the vast majority of the trips are usually one-way trips with the system. It's very much designed as a one-way utilitarian type of system. What's interesting, during the COVID period, you did see a little bit more sort of recreational riding in the system. So people would get it at like the Charles River Pass and take it round trip. But for the most part, one way, a lot of connections with MBTA.
Interesting. Okay. The other question I had is really a comment. When I saw the number, I was surprised. These things are actually quite expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, it's unfortunate too. The cost of the station with the bikes is about $40,000 to $50,000 for a station with 15 docks and about 10 bikes.
Okay. It seems like a lot of money, but I guess the technology requires it or something. But what it is, I guess.
Look, I have a lot of thoughts on that, but probably not for tonight.
Okay. All right. I'd be curious there. It's just interesting to know about this stuff, but great. I'm glad we got them. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Super. Councillor Grossman, you're next, followed by Councillor Lucas.
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation. I wanted to ask what your experience with the Blue Bikes has been as compared to what the city's experience was with Lime, and how you feel it's operating versus what we had before, both from your perspective and the administration's perspective, but also our constituents' perspective.
Yeah, so the equipment design is superior. It's more robust equipment, more suited to outdoor regular use. These stations get abused, they're shared bikes. The operations team is significantly better, so these bikes are much more well-maintained. With Lime Bike, I remember, I was like the mystery shopper testing a bunch of them, and I really found a lot of things wrong with the bikes. And, one of the 10 trips I took, I was like, that bike is not safe whatsoever. That was right near the end, of course. The equipment is significantly more expensive, and it's station-based. And the reality for a city like Newton is I think we would actually do very well as the technology develops with a hybrid system, where maybe in Newton Center or some of the tighter village centers, you have to return them to a station, but a little bit more flexibility. So you don't necessarily have to bring all the bikes back to a station. It's just because of our density and the lack of density, it's extraordinarily expensive to have enough stations everywhere to make it very, very functional. So instead of, having a station that's going to hold 10 bikes, if those 10 bikes can be scattered in a, half mile, square radius, it would be much better. Sorry about the dog.
It sounds like a very vivacious dog. If you could, and I don't know if you know this, at this point, since this is obviously a program that, we're scaling differently now and accepting these stations, Can you describe right. the utilization or sort of trip calculations that have been taking place?
It's really low right now. Our stations launched in September, October, which is right at the end of the season. And then typically trips during the winter months, November, December, January, February, are about 10 to 20% of what they would be in peak season. So I don't even want to estimate based on what we have to date. I think doing well for Newton is, five or six trips per station per day is my guess. And what's interesting is the number of trips per bike or trips per station should go up dramatically as the size of the network increases. Where we started at six stations, it was great we launched, but in my mind, I knew we need to get this to scale and we need to do it fast because there were just so few origin destination combinations. Like it worked great if you're trying to get from Newton Corner to Newton Center or Newton Corner to Nonantum. But other than that, there were no real trip options. So with 15 stations, I think you start getting, much better combinations and it becomes a much more useful system.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I'm glad that we're
exactly
to be able to, continue in this direction. So thank you for your continued efforts on it and, happy to see it continue. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Councillor Lucas, followed by Councillor Bowman.
Thank you. So my question is probably maybe a follow-up to what Councillor Grossman had to say, but my question was, what is the ridership like with the blue bikes? But I think you kind of just answered that, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. Does the city of Newton have a way of tracking who is particularly using the blue bikes and where they are, what their destinations are?
So I have back-end access to aggregated data and station data. I'll never see personal data about with names or anything like that. Blue Bikes does do a survey, so they do have demographics on people within the system. And I can at any point say, hey, this station is getting the most rides and it's getting this many trips per month. Right now, interestingly enough, West Newton and Nonantum are two most highly used stations. And that's above actually Newton Center, which I think is third at this point.
Oh, okay. Pretty good. And I'll just say, I prefer the blue bikes for someone who doesn't bike. I prefer the blue bikes over the Lime bikes. I was never a big fan of the Lime bikes. And I'm glad that we're going forward with the blue bikes. I know other cities and towns use the blue bikes. I know Cambridge uses them. Maybe that's Watertown. It's on the border. But I believe the blue bikes are by far superior to the Lime bikes. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor.
Great. Councillor Bowman, followed by Councillor Maliki.
Thank you. So I actually have some questions sort of maybe following up to Councillor Lucas's question, which was, when we're thinking about ridership data, I think it would be good, at some point to maybe see some of the, maybe summarized data that you're getting. Do you know much about like trip origination outside of Newton coming into Newton, like where people are coming from? Like, are we having a lot of people coming
from
Watertown or Waltham or Boston or reverse starting in Newton and going? I'd be very interested in sort of the inner city.
Yeah. I don't know if I get that automatically or if I can request it, but I'm sure I can.
At some point, I think it would be good to see that data. I would be very interested in that.
Yeah. The data then, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, there's getting the bikes. That's an important thing in the number of stations, but of course, increasing the amount of bike infrastructure, bike lanes is really critical to this. So do we have a timeline on when We might expect to see bike lanes coming in on Washington Street, or, you know, and then after that, what's next?
Well, great question. I just sent an email today to DPW asking about that. My hope is that we can do Washington Street this season, well before the end of the season. What needs to happen on Washington Street is, you know, we heard from you and from TAG and Bike Newton and Safe Routes to School that that Washington Lowell intersection is pretty significant. So DPW needs to go back, look at their budget and see if they can increase the scope and budget for the consultant they brought on board, because to do Washington Lowell is more extensive and it requires more traffic analysis and therefore a little bit more money and more time. But it sounds like that's quite important. And I think there is a real goal of, you know, before the school year, make sure that's in the ground.
Yeah. I mean, I think just to make sure that we're utilizing the bikes as well too. Right. And remind me when these contracts go through, like how long this funding for this grant expires when?
Oh, we need to get these bike share stations in the ground May 31st.
And then how, it's a year of funding. It's 2 years of funding. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So it's a shared street grant. It's a one-time, one bit of funding. They've given us the money. Stations go in the ground and it's done.
It's done. So there's maintenance cost or something. That's like, I'm trying to get at, like, what's the.
No. So the grant is covering capital costs and installation for these stations. We already have a contract with Motivate, which is Lyft, which is the operator. Right. And for the term of our contract, they provide free operations. In our contract goes to a year from September or so. After that, you know, we need to renegotiate with them.
So it goes, I'm sorry, September 2021, is that that's when our contract with them?
A year past September 21.
September
2022. Yeah, okay. I think it's that month. It's plus or minus a month or two. But
okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
Excellent. Councillor Malachy.
Thank you. You might have talked a little bit about this when I was trying to get my computer turned on. I guess this would be the, what's the operator's name? Motivate.
Yep.
Something they would keep track of. I assume they're constantly trying to keep enough supply of bikes at each station and not too many that people don't have room to drop them off. Do they have data? Have they provided you to the extent they have it on, are there stops where bikes tend to deplete because they're only used for people going from point A to right. point B and they don't come back to point A in the same day?
So lots of great points there. Motivate, as part of their operations contract, is required to do rebalancing. And they have service levels associated with rebalancing. To date, there's actually not enough data on the Newton system to understand if there's any real commute patterns or one-way patterns. But, you know, in downtown Boston, there are, you know, in South Station, North Station, you know, in the first couple of years by 8:30 a.m., you know, you couldn't return a bike to them. And, you know, at 4:30 p.m., they were empty of bikes. Yeah. A lot of that's changed and they've adapted and created systems around it. I don't think we'll be, you know, what's interesting is I don't think we have nearly the same one-way commute pattern. So I think it, for the most part, we're probably self-balanced pretty darn well.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of having people not get frustrated that they can't find a bike when they want it or they can't return it when they want it. And it sounds like at least for the volume that we have of use now, there's enough kind of leeway in the system that they're not filling up. If they, like in the situation in Boston, will they go rebalance during the day if they have to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have teams roving all during the day. So there's some things that you do to help with it. You know, one is you always try to have stations near each other. So if you're trying to return a bike to a station and it's full, you can get to another one.
Someplace close.
Right. Number
non-working parking meter stations. Those are very annoying.
Yeah. For Newton, that's less practical. So one of the things we're doing is getting slightly bigger stations. Mm-hmm. So instead of 11 dock stations, which was the original thought, we're going up to 15 dock stations. And that way there's just a little more leeway, you know, a little more buffer in the system so that you're not going to get to a full or empty station.
Yeah, because I could see like when school, like the high schools particularly are back full time, you might have more of a kids using them in the morning to get to school, but maybe they've got all different right. schedules in the afternoon and they don't use them coming home or something like that. Okay.
You know, and, funny. That's a funny myth though. So first off, there's a minimum age of 16 for the stations, but when, you know, in the early days of bike share, when we were doing all these projections, there were these projections showing that, you know, 2% of students, particularly college students, would use it and 1% of other people. And, you know, what you really found is people under 24, it was very light usage from them. Mm. And you know, with schools, you're more likely to see the staff and faculty using the bike share than the students. But who knows? It's a new day and it's a new city. So hopefully we do get a lot of students 16 and over using it.
And one quick question. At the end of, say, a year, will they know, actually, this is probably a system-wide thing, not a Newton-specific thing, but I'm kind of interested in the life cycle of these bikes. Like, do they get a couple of years out of them, 5 years, or are they trash after 8
yeah.
months?
The, you know, the useful life is supposed to be 5 years on the bike, but what's fascinating is there is no such thing as a bike with these things. I mean, they're constantly maintaining them. So in the course of 5 years, you've probably changed out the handlebars and changed out the saddle
so
and changed out the pedals.
Replacing parts.
Yeah. But what's interesting is the useful life of the stations was 10 years. The useful life of the bike was 5, and they really did outlive it. So the system launched in Boston in July 2011, and it's going strong. So they do have some good data on useful life of this stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
You need to unmute.
You're on mute.
Sorry. We had some background noise here. Councillor Lipoff followed by Councillor Lucas.
Okay. I never say no to free money, so I'm going to move this. But I really do appreciate all the questions and the background. It's nice to hear how it's going. This is only going to be viable if we can fill it out and make it connectable. So this is fantastic. Yeah. I'll move this when the time is right. Chair Downs.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lucas.
Thank you. Yeah, I just have one last question, just a follow-up on what Councillor Malachy was saying. Are there more parking stalls than there are bikes, or is it an equal number
of
parking stalls and bikes?
That would be a fun game of musical chairs. Yes, there's very much more parking stalls. And I think the ratio is 1.8 to 1 in the system.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Yeah. That was it. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. I think Councillor Lipoff has moved the item. All in favor, say aye.
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 And that's an aye from me. Any noes? All right, Councillor Director Friedman, if you can hang on a sec, I just have one more follow-up question. On a
sure
different
thing.
Mobility topic, if you could just quickly tell me what the I saw something in the TIP about shuttles. Could you just tell us what that's about?
Yeah, so for a long time, since the day I started, one of the priorities I always heard about was a Wells Ave shuttle. So we actually received funding to launch a Wells Ave shuttle. And what we proposed was doing it microtransit style. So instead of having a fixed route, fixed schedule, where every 45 minutes or every hour, the shuttle stops at 5 stops at Wells Ave and then goes to Newton Highland. We said, I think we can do better than this. And so we put out an RFP and we've contracted with we're in the process of contracting with VIA, and the plan is to preliminary launch a Wells Ave shuttle that goes to Newton Highlands and one or two other MBTA stops. And we also secured funding through the Community Connections Program, which I think is the funding source that you're referencing for about $300,000 to try to expand it beyond Wells Ave to a greater audience in the city. And we don't know what that looks like yet. Our hope is to launch the Wells Ave service pilot in July and then begin expanding in the fall. You know, one of the areas we're looking at for expanding is Chestnut Hill. We could expand as well to, you know, replace some of the 52 bus and think about sort of complementing or supplementing the T, particularly in light of some of the commuter rail issues that we've talked about. So the expansion part is to be determined, but I think we'll learn a lot from Wells Ave and know what to do. You know, we don't have a ton of funding, so we have to be pretty judicious in what we launch to make sure we have a high quality of service.
I'm assuming this is public transit, in other words, open to all. Would there be a fare?
Yeah, probably $2, but that's not determined yet. Okay. Trying to keep it as minimal as possible.
Of course. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next items are all related. As you may have seen from the chair's intention on the agenda, it's my intention to take all four of these in discussion together and to entertain a motion to vote no action necessary. In full disclosure, I have submitted for the docket an item on police reform and the police reform task force as a discussion item with the administration following the chair's meeting on Monday, so that we have a docket item around which to discuss all of these items. On the history of these four items, they were all filed at about the time of budget when we were looking at police budgets in particular. And some were discussed, some were not taken up. I have talked with all of the lead docketers on them, and they are all amenable to no action necessary on this, and we're actually surprised they were still sitting on our docket. So I will now open up the floor to discussion of, and I will read these into the record, 29620, discussion regarding MGL Chapter 150E. And its limitations that it might place on the city of Newton to unilaterally make changes to the Newton Police Department functions without having to negotiate them with police unions. 28020, discussion with the police chief and appropriate members of the department about policies and procedures around the use of force and measures to combat racism with a possible outcome of a community policing body. 27920, a resolution on Newton police policy and training, reducing police violence, facilitating citizens' First Amendment right to peacefully protest and actively engaging in non-biased community policing. And 27520, requesting a discussion with the Newton police chief and human resources director about Newton practices regarding recruitment, screening, training, advancement, and removal of police officers, including plans to increase the number of Black and minority officers. So with that, I will open the floor up to discussion. Don't overwhelm me. You can also just raise your hand and make a motion.
I think it's blending into my background, so you might not see it. The upper left corner.
You're on mute.
You're poised under something on my screen, so I can't see it. Yeah, go ahead, Councillor Grossman, and then I think we have Councillor Luke.
Sure. I just wanted to ask you, Madam Chair, if you could talk a little bit more about the process you see this committee undertaking the next couple months. I understand there's the new docket item, which we anticipate will cover these very important topics that are before us right now. Can you talk about the timeline of when you think we're going to discuss those, if you think that's a one meeting or multiple meeting type of a discussion, and then also how this might dovetail with our upcoming budget discussions and just what you think the approach will be. I think that would help me think about what to do with these docket items.
Absolutely. We are joined by Chief Operating Officer Jonathan Yeo, Hello, Jonathan, who may be able to shed some light on that. But I think he must have us on mute because he's not answering. He's not looking up. Let me see if I can give him a text. So just, yeah, I'm about to do that. But you know, because in part Jonathan, he's still chewing. Anyway, in part, this depends on the administration and the hiring of the chief. And
can you talk about your understanding of where we're at in that process, coupled with when you think we'll be able to discuss these other docket items? And then I, just from my perspective, as we get closer to the budget process, I think it would be helpful to anchor everybody's expectations around how we're going to approach those discussions, since, I mean, there's so much to talk about of great importance. And
exactly. And I'm quite aware of the excuse me, let me stop this. I'm quite aware of the complexity and the depth of what we need to, I'm just getting through to Jonathan here.
There's a ghost behind you, Chair Dan.
Hello, there we go. Yes, I know.
Sorry, I'm tracking this trying other meeting to... on leaf flowers.
I'm sure that's fascinating. Councilor Grossman had a question about the process going forward, and I think you have as good an understanding as, and probably a better understanding than I do. My going at this point is just, let's get a new chief, let's hear from the mayor on her reactions, and then we will be breaking down the tasks ahead of us. But my intention is to follow the Police Reform Task Force suggestion, very strong suggestion, that we work with our police department and our police chief to come up with some answers to some of our questions, and also to work through the work that it is. And we're going to need to let the chief to get his or her feet under them before we move forward. Jonathan, is that a reasonably accurate summary of where we are?
That is, yes. Thank you. So the mayor will be prepared, you know, at that meeting to discuss at least her initial thoughts. She's been working very hard on this right now, on the task force issues. There's several things she's already announced, but there'll be more thinking that she'll be able to discuss, and especially with the announcement of a new police chief. And hopefully that person will be able to attend that meeting and hear from the council about their thinking as well. So, and then, you know, my guess, there'll be a period of time over several months with a new chief and with working with the mayor and the council to look at all of the issues in more detail. So it'll take some time.
So I think it's fair to say that our budget process will be fairly unaffected because of the amount of time it will take a chief to acquaint him or herself with the department and the challenges ahead of us.
We will likely see some things in the budget, some initial items in the budget. Yes, the budget will be impacted by the task, our response, and our thinking, the mayor's thinking on the task force recommendations. Absolutely. So that will be May 13th. So that is what we're working on right now. So there'll be some initial items, and then, you know, things may take some time after that, but you'll hear some initial thinking at the end of this month, and then again in May with the budget.
So, Chair Downs, do you anticipate that this new docket item, that we'll talk about it before or after the budget delivery?
I anticipate that with the announcement of the new chief and the mayor's initial thoughts on and reactions to the Police Reform Task Force, My impression was that would probably happen before the budget started. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Yao, but that's my initial impression. We were looking for a date because of the wide interest of the subject when we could have either a committee of the whole or a joint meeting of the three P committees.
Okay. I'll put my hand down for now, but I may want to comment later. I'm just still thinking through these different docket items and whether we need to dispose of them or not. And but I'd like to listen to what others are thinking and have to say.
Thank you. Councillor Lucas.
Yeah, thank you. I kind of agree with what Councillor Grossman kind of had to say. I think we should definitely, I'm not saying pause all conversation or stop all conversation when it comes to policing, especially the budget, but that's a whole separate thing that's going to take place later this term. But, you know, there's a lot of things on this list related to, you know, combating racism, hiring practices, use of force. I mean, there's a lot of things here. I don't think we're going to solve any of our problems or come up with any great solutions on this call. But I'll just, you know, I think it's important that when it comes to some of these potential goals that I see on here, that we judge slowly, because I don't think we're going to see any drastic changes over the next year or maybe even 2 years. One thing in particular is the it was in the last one, 275-20. Including plans to increase the number of Black and minority officers. I mean, I don't know if the administration or if the new chief of police will have a goal in mind. That'll be interesting to see what the new chief has to say about that. But whatever the goal is, or if there is going to be a goal, it's important that we judge slowly because it's not going to change overnight. And I do look forward to working with the new police chief on some of these things that we're trying to enact here in Newton. And that's all I'm going to say for tonight.
And I agree it will take time, and in part because these items are so old. I mean, they were filed in June. If you look at them, they were filed in May and June of this last year. And our understanding, you know, part of what it was, what they were trying to do was to pull out information so that we could start as a council to talk about necessary reforms or the need for reforms. And all of that was put on hold with the Police Reform Task Force. I think we got a lot of information. And I encourage all my colleagues, if you haven't, and I assume, of course, that you have, that you have read that document very carefully so that you have a sense of where that task force came from. But the next move really is going to come from the administration, the new chief, and the mayor. And then our job will be to look at what legislation can accomplish. And one of the things I've been doing in the last several months is sort of going through different things that various counselors or the task force have suggested need to be examined or need to happen. And then tried to, as best I could with the information that I had, to determine who actually had any kind of control over that, whether it fell under council at all. And it's fairly clear to me that the bulk of it is very difficult for us as a council to address directly without some cooperation. Councillor Bowman, you have a question.
Not a question, just a comment. As I think the point of this, let me just make sure, is, you know, these four items, which all came up during last year's budget discussion, correct, that, you know, they don't necessarily align neatly with the recommendations that came out of the task force. And obviously they were written before the task force had even been formed, let alone had done their work. So does it make sense to set them aside now and maybe as a committee, you know, especially based on what the mayor decides she wants to move forward on and what the recommendations are, is to have a, you know, an update on the, you know, on what the mayor wants to go forward with and the new chief, but then there may be other items that we want to dock if they're just not quite these. So, you know, I did try to see, like, could we align them well? And they don't really align all that well. So, you know, I don't have a problem setting them aside and docketing new items as we determine necessary.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Oliver.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious if how others feel about this, because the first item, the 296.20, feels significantly different to me than the other three, from the perspective of it provides the discussion that I think answers, or theoretically would answer, or shines light on what is in bounds and what is out of bounds, if I understand the way this is written. Because the way I interpret this is there are state laws, right? We're talking about MGL 150E, and we've got our chapter 150E, and there are contracts, two of them, that directly impact, right, NPD. And I'm just wondering if we feel like 296.20 should be treated or handled differently than 280.20, 279.20, and 275.20. And that is coming from the perspective of the newbie in the group. So I'm just curious. But that one kind of struck me as a little bit, I don't know, maybe that's more of a precedent for the other three conversations, or perhaps it could or should be. But with that, it was just a pure question. Not sure.
I totally agree that it gets to the issue of what's in bounds and what's out of our control. One of the reasons this was not discussed, as you'll note from looking at it, was that we couldn't really determine who to ask. So it's a difficult one for us to take up until we do have that. I'm also cognizant that we have these open negotiations going on. It would probably behoove us to let them finish before, because they're not something we're privy to. And that we talk about again when we have a new chief. At least that's my initial take on it. And I'm open to correction. Councillor Lipoff.
I agree with Councillor Bowman. I think what she's saying is she would be fine with no action necessary. I think that these were docketed at the right time and we were making the right statement and the right asks. But with the task force, I think that the process has been begun in earnest. We're at a point now where we can follow along with this process. And as you said, legislators see fit, but let's see what kind of comes out of this. This is all new territory for all of us. And I just don't want to muddle what we have here. We kind of got mostly what we wanted by having the process of funding a task force and actually completing that. So I would be all for NANing and for us to continue to walk down this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lipoff. And you also reminded me that one of the reasons that I thought we should NAN these is in part because we have a new chief coming on. And it was partly my desire to also start with a clean slate and allow the new chief to come to us with what he or she might want us to legislate, and at least to start that discussion again with a clean slate, saying, you know, here are these documents, here are we, here is you. What, you know, how can we be most productive and work best together?
That's a great idea. Very well said. And I think it would be better when the time permits and to find out where we're going to have one docket item that states what we're now interested in discussing. instead of four of them that are kind of attacking the new chief in a way, if you know what I mean. I just think we can do a better job once we get more information along the way.
Well, they may not be attacking the new chief, but at any rate, let's not open ourselves to misinterpretation. I will take a motion.
I didn't mean that exactly. You know what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah, we want them to welcome them with open arms to their new job.
Exactly. I will, Councillor Malachy?
Sorry, I thought I had my hand raised there, and I guess it was not visible. I'm kind of uncomfortable with just wiping these off of our history, especially since I haven't even seen what the substitute docket item is. I mean, it seems like it's a fairly extensive list of discrete topics that, you know, we're still interested in, and sounds like we're kind of wiping them out because we haven't gotten to them yet. But the reasons that we haven't gotten to them are not of our making, in a sense. You know, we weren't anticipating, I don't think, the resignation of one chief and the length of time it was taking to find a new one. And we don't know at this point when exactly the new chief will be in place. And I guess I would prefer to, you know, keep these on the docket until we know what we're going to replace them with in more detail.
So I was going to, the docket item that I put together for PS&T is a discussion item, which is where I think we should start with a new chief. And I'm not sure if Chief Operating Officer Yeo is listening still, but one of the, my understanding is that the hiring of a new chief is imminent. But can someone text Jonathan and tell him we are needing him again?
Listening to programs and services at yes. the same time.
People cannot tear themselves away from the leaf blower conversation. It is the hit at the cocktail circuit. It always has been, always will be.
Jonathan is kind of the guy behind the curtain, if you know what I mean, from The Wizard of Oz. He's got all the screens going. He's listening to everything. It's kind of funny.
And now all this is on new TV. And I've been asked to explain what NAN means. It means no action necessary. That takes an item off. Mr. Yeo, are you with us?
Nope.
No, he's not.
I see him on there. But
on the no action necessary, just to fully understand or talk about it, it means no, you know, the council doesn't need to really take a vote at this time, not that there's no action needed.
Right, on these items.
Right, and also it doesn't, we don't wipe them off our history. The history of will always be there of where they came and then our action. So a record will be there.
If we had a searchable database.
And as many of us know, it is extremely easy to docket an item and doesn't take all that long except at the end of April when we have 3 weeks between one meeting and one council meeting and the next. But it really isn't that long of a process, which is another reason why I do think these need to be reformulated to reflect current reality. Councillor Markowitz?
Just let me say, thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree with your comments, and I think associate myself with Councillor Lipoff, and if I'm leaving anybody off, I'm sorry. But I'm comfortable that we're following the right process here. I don't think it's going to get lost if we nan it. I can't imagine how we could possibly lose sight of this. And I think a well-structured, well-planned thing that aligns to, you know, the timeline as it evolves with the hiring of a new chief makes perfect sense to me. So I'm fine with that. But I appreciate the concerns of Councillor Malachy. You know, good housekeeping is good housekeeping, but I can't see us losing this one here. I really can't. Thank you.
I'm failing to get any attention from Councillor.
He was just speaking to his screens. So maybe it's public facilities.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he may
did text back. Him.
Yes,
I'm telling you, like, leaf blowers, Chris has the right of it. It must be blowing up in there. I should have pulled it up on my phone. Oh, yeah. I'm sure
grants of permits can be very exciting too. I don't know.
I have an idea. Could we text Councillor Krinsman?
Was your question, Councillor Downs, is the announcement for the police chief imminent? This is my understanding, just from the grapevine. That's my understanding. Any day, this is what I've heard.
Yes, and I believe that is the case. Perhaps Ms. Delaney can enlighten us, but my understanding is that this is imminent, and that I'd like to move on it. Anyway, I'm open to a motion.
I will move that we NAN. Each of these items. Do I need to list them out?
Ms. Delaney?
Yes, please. Just list the numbers, docket numbers.
Okay. So I have a motion to NAN 296-20, a motion to NAN 280-20, a motion to NAN 279-20, and a motion to NAN 275-20.
All right. Do I need to take those separately, or can we do them as a group?
I would suggest separately.
Okay. I will take 296-20 first. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's 8-0, Ms. Delaney.
I count me as abstaining on all of these.
I will do. Okay. Thanks. So that's 7-0-0-1. On 280-20, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Again, 701, Ms. Delaney.
Yes.
279-20. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And 275-20. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
701
on all four. Thank you all. With that, I will take a motion to adjourn, so you can all go listen in on leaf blowers.
So moved, Madam Chair.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. See you guys later. Thank you so much.
See you at TNS.